One Man's Family, brought to you by the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee and Bluebonnet Margarine. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and their bewildering offspring. Today we present Chapter 7, Book 66, entitled The Special Delivery Letter. Something has been bothering Hazel for almost 2 weeks now. Even to herself, she admits it is something which is not quite her business. And yet she is so disturbed by it that this morning she called up the family home and invited Nicolette Moore to come over.
But I am prompt, no?
A happy failing. Please come in.
All my life it has been that way. Someone says 4 o'clock. I am there at 4 o'clock.
May I take your coat?
Thank you. Oh, you know, it is chilly out for me.
It's always chilly when we get that breeze right in through the Golden Gate. I think the fire in here will be a pleasant contrast.
Oh, what a pleasant room.
That's right. You haven't been here before.
No. And I am so happy to be.
I got the things ready so I wouldn't have to be chasing out to the kitchen. May I pour you a cup?
Please. Also, what charming sweet biscuits. You make them yourself?
The cookies? Oh, yes. Any mother of three children becomes a master at cookie making.
Oh, but yes. And what a good thing that is.
Making cookies or having children?
Ah, but both.
Yes, they both help to fill out a woman's life.
Hazel, you were about to say something more just now. Please to do so.
Why, I... Yes, of course. I asked you over here this afternoon because I've developed an antipathy toward you, and I don't like it.
Yes, I know that.
You know?
Of course. One woman always senses how another woman feels toward her. I was surprised that you asked me this afternoon. Surprised and very pleased.
Would you like to know why?
Very much.
Because Claudia told me that to know you was to like you.
Oh?
So I thought if Miss Moore might possibly become a member of the Barber family, I'd better get to know her in a hurry and get rid of
your resentment.
Resentment?
Of course, resentments. Resentments against another woman coming in to share you, Brother Paul.
Miss Moore, I deny.
What else can you have against me? At first, you were the most gracious of all the barbers. It's only when this talk of perhaps I shall marry Paul that you have turned against me.
Honestly, I don't know what it is. I never in the world had any idea or intention of interfering in anything in Paul's life. I'm as shocked with myself as anyone else could be.
You don't know?
I don't, honestly.
I think I can tell you, if you wish me to.
Yes, please do.
Paul is too important in this family.
Too important?
Yes, he is everything to everyone. To your mother and father, he is their staff and their reliance in their older years. Of all the children, Paul alone is still at home.
Yes, you can see mother and father deteriorate before your eyes when Paul's away.
For your sister Claudia, Paul is the father confessor. He is her shepherd when she strays. He is her interpreter to Nicholas, her husband, when she plays dangerously. He is her strong right arm to lift her out of her own despair when she has played too close to the edge and she has singed her self-respect.
And what is he to me?
I am coming to you. To your brother Jack, he is a philosopher, a psychologist, almost a psychiatrist.
What do you mean?
Do you remember that not so long ago the Jack Barber household was in a very bad state?
Yes, it was so apparent. We were all worried, but afraid to interfere.
Haven't you noticed a difference recently?
Why, I hadn't thought, but yes, of course.
Paul?
Why, of course, it would have to be.
And in your case, Hazel, there is much of your father in you.
What?
To your father, there is nothing more important, more sacred, more to be protected than family unity.
If that's what you mean, I'm very much like father in that.
Yes. Anything which for one instant threatens this tight little group, which is the Barber family, is something dangerous, something to be feared and hated.
Then...
Of course, your instincts warn you against me. Here is a woman with some looks, perhaps, but more important, with a facile tongue and some brains behind that tongue. Just the sort of woman to intrigue a man like Paul. Ah, yes. Dangerous.
I feel as though you were reading my mind.
I'm so glad you can smile with friendliness while I'm saying these things. That proves you are such a sincere, honest person.
Well, I hope so.
And then, I speak with an accent. That's foreign. It does not have that nice, easy, Western sound, so pleasant to your accustomed ears. That bothers you. And then, a woman who has done espionage work for her country. Huh? What sort of woman would do that? She must be bold. She must be callous. She must be easy of virtue.
Oh, no.
Ah, yes. But I know about those things. That is what people expect of a Mata Hari. That is how people feel a female spy should act. And that is what is hardest of all for you people to accept in me. How can a woman of the world, a spy, an espionage agent, ever fit into a good, down-to-earth American family, such as the Barbers?
But, Miss Moore...
Do you deny that?
No.
Good. Honest again. But when I tell you that ever since my husband was stood against the wall and shot, you know that, I think?
Yes.
I'm sorry. He was so young, and I was so young. But ever since that day, I have hugged honor, integrity, virtue to me as my most precious jewels. I was chosen to do this kind of work because I had the wits, the quick mind, the knowledge to perform what was required. Never because of an appealing feminine body, not because of an easy way with men.
Do you think for one minute either mother or father would have accepted you into their home if they had thought otherwise for one moment?
And yet, to people of your understanding, there is a stigma attached to a woman espionage agent.
It's ridiculous. I know it is.
And yet it bothers you.
Oh, I honestly think it's a matter of accustoming oneself.
I think so, too. But now I want to say to you something which makes this whole conversation rather pointless.
Oh?
Yes. In all the time I have known Paul, we have had exactly two conversations on the subject of love and marriage, both of them academic, neither of them even hinting at the future. In fact, in our last talk, I freed Paul from any and all obligations ever to even have to consider me in that light, ever.
That was very generous of you.
Why? He owes me nothing. I owe him nothing.
But his having invited you to stay with his family, I mean, isn't there implied a relationship, an understanding?
Oh, I can conceive of a type of feminine mind that would make a great deal of such a situation. But not Nicolette Moore. Oh, no. That is a cat-and-mouse game which too many women play to capture a husband. No, if I never have a husband, I will never think to such tactics.
I'm beginning to see what Claudia meant.
What's that?
To know you is to like you.
Oh, that is a compliment.
I'm so glad I asked you over. All that heavy, resentful feeling is gone.
Good. Friendship is so much better.
What's the matter with Paul, anyway? Doesn't he know what he's letting slip through his fingers?
The first chance you get in your next cup of coffee, taste the new Chasin Sanborn. The blend is so marvelously improved that it's the most satisfying coffee you ever tasted. Yes, this is a new blend. A new blend means a different combination of finer coffees specially selected to multiply the flavor in your cup. Chasin Sanborn's expert coffee tasters are constantly sampling individual coffees from all over the world, testing them for special qualities to increase your coffee pleasure. Some are sharp, some mild, some mellow. And the new Chasin Sanborn is an inspired combination of the most delicious. Taste it. Enjoy this new coffee experience, a new wealth of glorious flavor. You get it at the top of its form, at its flavor peak, because as soon as the new Chasen Sanborn is roasted, it's quickly vacuum-packed. No other container can possibly give you so much delicious flavor, so much freshness. All the Chasen Sanborn your grocer has is this improved new blend. So ask for Chasen Sanborn coffee now. And down the street the other way from the family home, some six blocks, Claudia and Nikki are going out for the evening and are making preliminary preparations. Claudia is touching up her nails, with Joan on a footstool at her knee doing likewise. Nicholas is in the bathroom removing his 5 o'clock shadow, although it's barely 3:30.
Hello out there.
Yes, Nikki?
What are you two women doing?
Can a girl manicure her nails?
Oh, by all means.
Well, you manicure your whiskers and we'll sharpen our claws.
Right, just about finished. Yeah, presently.
You know something, Claudia?
Hmm?
I had the nicest, warmest feeling when Nikki included me just now.
Included you?
Uh-huh. What are you two women doing? I am getting to be a woman, aren't I?
You most certainly are.
Claudia, could I ask you something?
Well, I'll bet you can.
Well, why is marriage so important? I mean, why are men so important to women, and I guess women important to men?
Are we talking fundamentals now?
Yes, the real reasons.
Well, maybe at this point I should send you down to talk to Dr. Thompson or over to see your Uncle Paul, but I'm not going to.
I don't see why you should. I mean, if you know.
Oh, I know, all right. It's just whether I can put it in such a way that you'll accept it as right and natural in the way things should be. After all, darling, it's a thing you're going to have to be living with the rest of your life, so I'd like you to get started off on the right foot.
Maybe you're kind of mixed up, Claudia. I know about sex. I mean...
What do you know about sex?
Well, you know what the story said.
What did the story say?
Everybody knows about men and women. Well, the birds and the bees and the flowers are just the same.
Hey!
Oh, I was just kidding. After all, I've read Shenfield's Women and Men, and I get physiology in school, and I can read the newspapers, and... Well, for goodness sakes, you and Nikki aren't completely dumb.
Thank you.
So I know most of the... Well, the physical angles, I think. But there's something else. Something I can't seem to understand.
About the relationship for a man and a woman?
Yes, their need for one another. It's almost like a magnet, the way they're drawn together.
That's exactly what it is. A physical magnet. A living, driving force.
But what makes it?
Darling, a woman is only half a woman by herself, alone. A man is only half a man. All you have to do is to look at any middle-aged woman who's never belonged to a man. It's all so apparent. There's a loneliness in their faces. There's a masculine aggression in their bearing. There's a lack of fulfillment in their bodies.
The same thing happened to men?
Of course. Where the woman shows masculine tendencies, the man shows effeminate traits. He becomes fussy, old-maidish, prissy. His face has a tendency to pout, or else has a look of continual irritation. A lifelong frustration. He's an unfinished piece of work. It's all too apparent.
But why?
Because, darling, nature made woman to be the counterpart of man. Nature meant man and woman to come together. Nature gave the male qualities which the female lacks and which she needs to make her whole. She gave the female qualities which the male lacks and which he must have for a complete life. When man and woman marry, they fulfill the requirements of nature. When they don't, they thwart nature and their own natural desires. If that doesn't make sense to you.
Oh, sure.
And I'm not talking just about physical needs, Joan. There are emotional and psychological and spiritual needs, which are maybe most important of all. There are many things between a happy man and wife which no one can understand who hasn't participated.
You make married life seem awfully good.
My dear, married life...
My, how you two have been going on.
Oh, Nikki!
Have you been listening?
Are you eavesdropping? Never. However, there's been a buzz, buzz, buzz in my ear all the time I was shaving. Anybody want to sniff me? I smell wonderful.
Oh, darling, be careful of my hair.
You can muff my hair, Nikki.
Righto, with pleasure. Well, you smell rather good yourself.
Well, I should. That's my Christmas perfume you and Claudia gave me.
Ah, Claudia, I'm looking forward to a party tonight.
Uh-huh. Should be fun.
And we do thank you with grateful hearts, Joan, for staying with the little people.
Oh, that's okay. I have tomorrow night coming up.
It would have to be maid's night out.
Oh, I don't mind. Pinky and Hank and Linda Summers are coming over after dinner.
Well, not too late.
10:30.
Oh, Nikki, look what time it is.
It's not yet 4, my dear.
I know, but we've got to drive clear down the peninsula below Menlo. It'll take us over an hour, and we're supposed to be there by 5:30.
Cocktail party at 5:30?
They're going to try a barbecue and want us early.
The barbecue's a pretty touchy business this early in the year.
Well, if it gets too chilly or dark too early, they'll just move everything into their enclosed patio.
That sounds dreamy.
Ah, yes. Caviar, escargot, imported pate. Tell you what I'll do, John. I'll wrap up a nice, juicy escargot in a paper napkin and bring the little fellow home to you.
That sounds like a great big old hairy deal. What's an escargot?
French for snails, darling.
Ugh.
Open mind, my dear. Never say to anything until you've investigated with an open mind.
I've investigated snails with an open mind in the garden. I've even stepped on them.
You mean you wouldn't eat one if I brought it home to you?
What do you want, blood?
Never mind, darling. All those things will come later. It's wonderful how everything falls into its right place and is quite pleasantly acceptable, if you don't rush it.
The day snails are pleasantly acceptable, you better also have me examined for aphids.
Oh, Nicky, my fingernail polish is still wet.
Oh, so's mine.
I don't know, I'll get it. Hello. Oh, good afternoon, Father Barber. Who? Oh, I say to no. No, she's not over here, I'm sorry to say.
Well, there's an airmail special delivery letter just arrived for her, and all I know is that she went out for this afternoon. Well, thank you, Nicholas. Goodbye. Yes.
Hi, Grandfather.
Margaret, where did you drop from?
Oh, I've been up in the sewing room saying hello to Grandmother. Are you looking for somebody?
Miss Nicolette Moore.
Oh, she's over at our house.
Huh?
Mm-hmm, she's spending the afternoon with Mom. That's why I'm over here, so she and Mom can talk.
Indeed.
I guess it's almost over by this time. Miss Moore will be home pretty soon.
Well, I guess the special delivery letter can wait that long.
Grandfather, why did you run away yesterday?
Huh?
When Mom took you to the dentist.
We'll not go into that.
You did run away. Everybody says so.
That's a matter of opinion.
I don't think that's a very good example for your grandchildren, do you?
You sound exactly like your grandmother.
Dentists don't hurt you.
Indeed.
Dead teeth can hurt lots more than dentists.
Can they?
You face lots worse things.
Really?
Just think in the old days when the blacksmith or somebody used to yank them out with a pair of pliers.
Margaret, will you stop torturing me?
But all I was saying
If you have nothing to talk about except dentists, you can excuse yourself and go back up to your grandmother.
Okay. Only I'm kind of disappointed.
And don't take that tone of voice to me. You picked that up from Fanny.
Oh, goodness, I didn't... Shall I get it?
Will you please?
I'll get it, but don't you go away while I'm out here.
I'll be here. Have no fear.
Oh, Dan.
Hi, Perkin. Now, where have I seen you before?
I'm Margaret, remember? You come over to see Grandfather?
Yes, your mother was having Miss Moore in.
Mm-hmm, that's why I'm here. Come on, Grandfather's in here.
Huh? Who is it?
Look, it's Dan from over home.
Afternoon, Father Barber.
Daniel, come in. Have a chair.
Well, Hazel's occupied this afternoon.
Nicolette. Glad to have you.
I was just telling him how disappointed everybody was about us, too.
Margaret, once and for all, the subject is closed.
Yes, honey, don't you know a painful subject when you see one?
Okay. I can talk to Grandmother about it. Excuse me if I go back upstairs with her.
Don't think about it, Father Barber. Margaret has a one-track mind when she gets on a subject.
Yeah, just like her grandmother.
Yeah. Well, sir, it's not going to be long now.
Huh?
The Barber's summer caravan from Montana.
Oh.
It's really fine that you've decided to come along.
Huh? Who says I've decided?
Why, it's just been accepted. We've even worked out the seat arrangement of the cars. That is to start out with.
I haven't made up my mind. Daniel, wouldn't you say that a man's tooth is his own business?
A tooth?
Dead or alive, it's still something personal. It's his alone.
I'd say so.
Then why should a man be a great disappointment to his family if he chooses to leave his tooth in his head?
Well, I don't know.
That's what Margaret said. A great family disappointment and a bad influence on the children.
Oh, now, Father Barber, Margaret's just full of this and that.
Who just came in the front door? Is that you, Nicolette?
Hello, Dad. Yes, just Jack.
Yes, yes.
Oh, Dan, how are you?
Afternoon, Jack. You joining us?
No, I'm running up to Paul's studio. You'll excuse me?
Yeah, yeah. Don't let us keep you.
Okay, Dan. I'll be seeing you, Dan.
Definitely.
Daniel, do you know what's going on up at the top of the house?
I haven't the faintest idea.
Jack goes up there every afternoon. He and Paul spend half to three quarters of an hour.
That's so?
Yeah, mysterious.
You think so?
And in heaven's name, why doesn't one of them say why they're upset?
Well, if Jack and Paul hold daily conferences, you can just put it down as a sure thing that it's worth the effort. I know Paul well enough for that. Sit down, Jack. Make yourself comfortable.
Yeah.
Beautiful day after yesterday's rain.
Huh? You bet. You know something, Paul? I'm getting so I look forward to these talks every day.
So do I.
Do you?
Of course.
Why, I just thought maybe it was all old stuff to you. To me, it's like getting a glimpse into a new world every session.
Mm-hmm. Well, what have you been thinking about since yesterday?
Well, for one thing, they gave me a new case down at the law office.
You say that with a little satisfaction. It's important.
Sure.
Why?
Because for the last 6 months, I wasn't getting very much. Just research work, looking up data some of the other attorneys could use in their cases. Last couple or 3 months, I wasn't even getting much of that. Just was kind of marking time.
Oh? You didn't mention it?
Of course not. I was scared stiff. I thought I was on my way out. After all, how much time have they got to give to a little newborn lawyer who can't do his office work because he's having trouble with his home life?
Oh? So you see a connection, hmm?
Oh, sure there was a connection. You remember 2 or 3 weeks ago you were talking to me about having lost my self-assurance?
Yes.
I said, I'm not very good company. Do you really want to talk to me?
Mm-hmm. And I said, Jack, if you're losing your self-confidence here at home, how long is it going to be before it'll be showing up in your work?
Well, that was like a punch right in the solar plexus. Boy, how you hit home.
I thought so by the look on your face.
Yeah, it was already happening.
Well, I'm glad we brought you to your senses in time.
No kidding. The way I've been whipping into business and getting back into strides made them sit up and take notice.
Now you're back with a new case of your own. That's fine.
Well, it's like I'm emerging from an illness or a bad dream.
Of course. It was an emotional illness.
Not that I don't have some setbacks, especially with Betty.
Yes, naturally. As a matter of fact, it wouldn't be natural for two married people to go through daily living without differences of opinion, sharp words occasionally, moments of moodiness. That's how we're made. The thing is, though, that the momentary conflicts are over quickly and aren't the true pattern of your relationship.
Well, I guess it's kind of good to explode sometimes, isn't it? I mean, it's better to have a good fight and get it out of your system rather than storing it up.
Definitely. A boiler which is equipped to let off steam never has a tragic explosion. And momentary flares of temper, small routine emotional crises, a few tears now and then, these are nature's petcocks for the release of inner stresses and strains.
Yeah. Now that I got the idea, I'm not irritated or upset by Betty's sharp words or bossiness. I can just kiss her or put my arms around her and she softens right up.
Uh-huh.
Now when I fly off the handle, it isn't a bit hard to say I'm sorry and make amends.
In other words, you're putting aside resentments and grudges and you no longer have the feeling that people and things are against you.
Yeah, I...
Yes, come in.
Oh, Paul, I'm so sorry.
No, come on in.
I would not have interfered except that this letter has arrived from the State Department in Washington.
Your letter from Washington?
Oh, excuse me.
No, please, Jack.
Oh, sure, you need Paul more than I do just now. Huh? I'll see you tomorrow, Paul.
He is understanding, that one. Here, please, read what it says.
Sit down.
Which is what I should have been expecting, of course. Something I would have known was coming had I used my wits instead of spent my time here dreaming in the midst of all this contentment which belongs to you barbers.
But it doesn't say you have to leave immediately.
Is that something to cling to?
It says within the next month. And I guess from this that whatever your assignment's to be, it won't be outside the United States.
Oh, they would never put my secret destination into a letter of this nature.
Nicolette.
Yes, Paul. Why don't you go on?
There's no need for you to have anything further to do with that sort of life.
Oh?
Stay here. You're wanted here. There's a need for you in this big house. Stay here and
what?
And marry me.
Oh, you finally said that, didn't you?
Yes.
But it was so hard. And right now, I would feel like the very meanest and cheapest of women if I had any intentions of accepting what you offer.
But if I hadn't meant it,
no,
I...
this is not the time or place for you and me to talk of marriage. I would never marry anyone in a moment of haste or panic. That is not the way.
But if you once leave us,
If our relationship is so ephemeral that 3 or even 6 months separation will dissolve our interest, then it was a poor thing indeed.
What are you suggesting?
Well, I will accept this assignment. It will not be less than 3 months, I know that. When it is finished, if it is still your wish, I will come back here.
We won't let you go otherwise.
That I will hope. Then, after the separation, perhaps all of us will know better what we want from this relationship.
Nicolette, I mean it. The idea of your leaving is pure desolation. Stay here. Marry me. Make your home.
Hush, Paul.
Please.
No. Say those words to me when I come back next. Then I will believe them. Perhaps.
Father Barber had just sat down to his afternoon coffee when Jack came in.
Oh, there he sits, the pater familias, with his daily dram of nectar.
Now, Jack, I hope you're not going to follow the rest of this family in making light of my enthusiasm.
I'm going to follow you and have some for myself, if I may.
You certainly may. Here's a cup and sugar and cream.
You know, Dad, the family's only kidding you about your passion for chasing Sanborn. They're all just as crazy about the new blend as you are.
How well I know it. But with all their jests and their puns, they forget how important such good coffee is.
I should say it is important. If it weren't for chasing Sanborn, your own son Jack would be dull every day until high noon.
Yes, and think how much more congenial people are. Now, how could anyone be surly or mean after a cup of coffee like this?
By golly, Dad, there's an idea. I'm going to recommend the new Chase and Sanborn to every judge just before I start pleading engaged.
That sounds dangerously like bribery, but I venture it would work. Well, one of the gruffest men I know had a disposition like a buzzsaw, and I told him about this new blend.
I'll bet I can guess.
Well, have you seen him lately? Every time I pass, he claps me on the shoulder. Henry, he says, all smiles, the new blend of Chase and Sanborn is the best coffee I ever tasted.
All over the country, people are saying exactly that. The new Chase and Sanborn is a stroke of blending inspiration. A new combination of finer, more flavorful coffees from various parts of the world. Chosen for flavor, perfectly roasted, and quickly vacuum-packed, you get the new blend at its best and freshest. Taste it the first chance you get. All the Chase and Sanborn your grocer has is the improved blend, so you can't miss. Ask for Chase and Sanborn. It's a new coffee sensation. You have just heard Chapter 7, Book 66 of One Man's Family, written and produced under the direction of Carlton E. Morse for the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee and Blue Bonnet Margarine. Chapter 8, entitled Father Barber Can't Bear the Idea, will come to you next week at this same hour. Here's a word to the wise about a table essential, something it pays to remember.
Remember the letter F-N-E for flavor, nutrition, economy.
And what a wealth of nutrition you get in Blue Bonnet. No other spread for bread is richer in food energy, richer in vitamin A the whole year round. No wonder Blue Bonnet is so good for growing youngsters, the whole family. For here's what you get in only 3 half-ounce pats of Country Sweet Blue Bonnet. As much food energy as a medium lamb chop. As much precious vitamin A as you get in 3 glasses of milk. Or as much vitamin A as you get in 2 to 3 fresh eggs. Plus vitamin E and other food essentials. Get Blue Bonnet tomorrow, made by the makers of Fleischmann's yeast. This week you save up to 45 cents a pound when you buy Blue Bonnet instead of the expensive spread. And Country Sweet Blue Bonnet is rich in nutrition, rich in energy.
Buy Blue Bonnet, yes, for real. Flavor, nutrition, economy.
Family came to you from California. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.